And if we look at the Holy Quran in all its verses, this was the very first words that were mentioned by people to whom the Anbiya's came. You people, you are human beings just like ourselves. You are not bigger than us. We saw you growing up in front of our eyes. And today you will tell us that you are Anbiya's and apostles. So just like that, they said, Ma antum illa basharum mithluna. You are nothing but human beings like ourselves. So their aqeed and belief was that if someone must come, he cannot be from among the human beings. So therefore, in other words, what they are indirectly saying, that if Allah really wants to send someone to us, He will choose an angel. So they say, you are just a human being like ourselves. You were born in front of us, you grow, you eat like us, you marry, etc., etc. مَا أَنْتُمِ اللَّهِ بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. Then they said, وَمَا أَنْزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And Ar-Rahman, Allah the most compassionate, He has not revealed anything to you. So they are falsifying the prophets. That He has not revealed anything to you, so therefore what is the conclusion? إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. You are nothing but liars. Looking at the Anbiya's, they said, you people are speaking lies. The three apostles. قَالُوا. They said, the messengers, three messengers. رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ. They said, our Lord knows very well that we are messengers to you. Even if you deny it, and even if you say that we are telling lies, and even if you say that we are not apostles, but our Lord knows very well that we are messengers to you, and we are speaking the truth. But the bottom line is this, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. There is nothing upon us except a clear notification of the message. That is our job. We have come to do a job, and that is to notify you, and that is to give a message to you, and that is our job. Whether you accept it or reject it, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. There is nothing upon us except to reach out the message to you. And we have reached out the message, but we have done our job in the sight of Allah. We have fulfilled our task. So today or tomorrow when we die, Allah will not take us to task for not conveying the message, because we have done our job. But have you done your job to accept the Anbiya's of Allah? You will be questioned about that. Because the Anbiya's also on the Day of Judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the days of judgment, many Anbiya's will be raised by Allah, and their community will lie against them. And their community will say to Allah that no prophet came to us. مَا جَاءَنَا نَبِيٌ وَلَا رَسُولٌ. No Nabi or no prophet came to us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قَوْمِ نُوح. The people of Nuh alayhi salam, they will stand up and say, oh Allah, Nuh did not deliver his message. Allah will say, oh Nuh, what is it your people are saying about you? You did not deliver the message? Nuh alayhi salam will say, it is mentioned in authentic hadith, Nuh alayhi salam will say, oh Allah, yes, I had delivered my message. Allah will say to him, what is your evidence? What is your proof that you delivered your message? Nuh alayhi salam will say, Ummatu Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Call the nation of Muhammad. Call the Ummah of Muhammad. They will be a testimony today that I delivered my message to my people. And the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come up. Allah will question them. And they will answer in the affirmative that yes, Nuh alayhi salam did convey his message to the people. Allah will say, how do you know that? The people will say, oh Allah, you have sent a Nabi to us, who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with him you sent a book called the Quran. And your book, your script is the Holy Quran, informs us that Nuh alayhi salam did convey his message to his people. That is the evidence. So then upon, there will be a testimony, and upon them the Prophet of Allah will be a testimony that the Ummah is speaking the truth. And this is the ayah of the Quran. This is the interpretation of the ayah of the Quran, where Allah says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَتًا.
لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول شهيدا عليكم.
And it is for this reason, and thus Allah has made you a moderate nation, a nation, an ummah flowing in the middle course, no extremism, no too much towards Isaiyat, Christianity, no too much towards Judaism, not leaning too much on Musa alayhi salam's teaching, and not leaning too much on the other side to Isa alayhi salam's teaching. Because all Muslims believe they are two mighty messengers. One, they are very close to the Prophet of Allah. So Islam is not a religion that leans too much on Isa alayhi salam's teaching, neither it is a religion that leans too much on Musa, but it is bayna, it is between. So therefore the laws that were given to Musa alayhi salam are the laws of the Holy Quran. And the mercy, the love, the compassionate nature of Isa alayhi salam also is also part of Islam. The way he preached about all those things, because the messages of Anbiya's do not differ from each other. They come from one Allah, they come from one source, and all of them know what is the truth. So they will not teach anything against the truth. So Allah says, we have made you a just, well-balanced nation. Well-balanced nation. Why? So that you, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will become a witness against mankind on the Day of Judgment. And this is it. This Ummah will be a witness against mankind. And then Allah says, and then the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be a witness against you on the Day of Judgment also. Meaning over you as to what you are saying. Is it true or not? So, they said that مَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. But this is it. This is what we have to do. We have to give the message. Nothing more than this. We cannot force you to believe. So, because they didn't deny them, they said, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. There is nothing upon us except giving an open message and that which we have done. قَالُوا, they said, Inna tatayyarna bikum. They said, we consider you as a bad omen. What does it mean? What they are saying? We consider you a blight. This is what a bad omen is. Nuhusat. Nuhusat. Blight. It is mentioned in the tafsir of the Quran that while these anbiyas and apostles were there, because of the people's failure to accept them as messengers, Allah's azab came to them in the form of a drought. A drought. And because they were experiencing this azab of a drought, nothing, water, you know, land can't produce, etc., they say to themselves, oh, maybe it is because of these people who are with us now, this is why this blight has occurred. This is why. And this is what the people told Musa alayhi salam, that we take a bad omen from you, you are a blight. That before you came to us, the Israelites were not punished by Pharaoh, but now you came, they have been punished by Pharaoh. You are a blight. Now they are being punished. So similarly, they said to the prophets, we consider you as a bad omen, you being amongst us as a blight. So they said to the Anbiya's, La illam tantahu, if you do not stop this, what you are doing, this preaching and propagation of your religion, La narjumannakum, we will stone you. We shall surely stone you. Wa la yamassannakum minna adhabun aleem. And most assuredly, a painful punishment will come to you from us. It will touch you. So if you do not stop this message of preaching what you are preaching, we will stone you. And we will give you a painful punishment. What was the reply? What was the reply of the Anbiya's at that time, the three messengers? Qalu, they said, Fa'irukum ma'akum, your bad omen is with your own selves. Allahu Akbar. Your blight is your own self. A in dhukirtum, It is because of the fact that you were reminded and you failed to comply with that reminder. And you failed to accept Allah. So therefore Allah's azab has come to you. So you are the blight. Ta'irukum ma'akum. Your bad omen is with you. They said, Bal antum qawmu musrifun. Me, you people, you are a transgressing nation. You are transgressing the limits of Allah. While this was happening, the three Anbiya's there, they're inviting the people. What happens after that? The Quran says, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. Then a man came from the farthest part of the city, running towards them. A man came from the farthest part of the city, running towards them. Saying what? قَالَ, saying to them, يَا قَوْمِي, O my people, اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ, follow the messengers. This is what this man did. Coming, running from a far city towards them, telling these people who are denying the Anbiya's, O people, O my nation, follow and obey the Anbiya's and the messengers. اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Follow those people who do not ask you for any salary or wages. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ, and they are guided. Who was this person? It is mentioned, Ibn Abbas, Muqatil and Mujahid, the famous commentators of the Holy Quran, says that this person, his name is Habib bin Ismail al-Najjar. This is this person. And he is from among those people who accepted Islam without seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, simply upon the scriptures that were revealed to those people before, based on the prophecies made about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lived 600 years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and from that time, when he read the scriptures and he heard about Muhammad, he accepted Islam from that time. From that time. Three such people happen in the history. Three such people who, just based upon the scriptures prophesying about the Messenger of Allah, they accepted Islam immediately. One is this person. The person who is known as Ja'a min aqsal madinati rajulun yas'a. The man who was running from the farthest part of the city. Habib bin Ismail al-Najjar. The other person, Tubba Akbar. The Quran mentions about Qawm Tubba, the nation of Tubba. He also, in the books and the scriptures that were revealed to the previous prophets, when he read about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he accepted Islam. And the third person was Waraqa bin Nawfal, that he knew about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He read the scriptures about him. And then when his cousin Khadijatul Kubra, she brought the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to him, and he understood the sign. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not yet give out the open i'lan to believe in him, and he had already believed in the Messenger of Allah. Before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mission really began in the community, he had passed away. He had passed away and he accepted Islam. Waraqa bin Nawfal. This is the person. Rajulun yas'a. What is the history of this person? It is stated that Habib bin Najjar belonged to this community. The community and the city where the Anbiya's, these three apostles, came to. But his house was at the very beginning of the city. As soon as you enter the city, that is where his house was situated. In those days, and even up to now, until now, in many places, the city is secured with large doors, like forts. So to enter the city, you have to open a door and you enter the city. And Habib bin Najjar lived there. For 70 years, he suffered from leprosy. For 70 years. But he was an idol worshipper. He worshipped idols. And it is mentioned that when these messengers came, the first person they met, because his was the first house, was Habib bin Ismail al-Najjar. And they came to him and they spoke to him. And they invited him to believe in Allah, to believe in the one true God. And he says, what sign do you have to prove to me that he is the true God and not the idols I am worshipping? He says, we have many signs. Whatever you wish for us to do, we can do it, the Anbiya said. He says, for 70 years I am suffering with the sickness of leprosy. See if you can cure me. He says, sure Allah. The Anbiya said, sure Allah will cure you. He says, what is wrong with you people? For 70 years I am praying to my idols, and all of them put together cannot help me. Your one God can help me today? What are you saying? So they said, yes, he can help you. And they prayed to Allah, and immediately he got relief from it. The sickness went leprosy. Immediately. He at once believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He believed in the Anbiya's. And from that day, he began to work. And from that day, when he started to work, every single thing he worked for, he divided in exactly half. Half he gave for the sake of Allah, and half he kept for himself and his family. From that day, every single day that he worked. And he remained at that place. When the Anbiya's came to the general public, he heard how the people, the news reached him that these people were denying the Anbiya's. So when he heard that, he immediately left everything and he rushed towards them. This is why the Quran described him as what? Yas'ah, came running towards the people. He wanted to teach the people the writing that these are untruth. These are the messengers. Do not worship your idols. Worship Allah. So the Quran described him as وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجِلٌ يَسْعَى. And there came a man running towards the people, running from the farthest part of the city, saying what?
قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ.
Saying, oh my nation, follow these Anbiya's and these sent people and these prophets.
اتَّبِعُوا, follow. مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ.
Follow those people who do not ask you for anything in return. أَجْرًا means a wage for what they are doing, and they are rightly guided. Then he says to them, he openly declares his iman to the people now. The people did not know that before. They knew him of Habib al-Najjar, they knew him as Habib, but never knew that he accepted the true faith, and he stopped his idol worship and he started to worship the one true creator. So he says to them now, asking a question, but it is a message to them. When he said,
وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَتَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ.
And what is the matter with me that I should not worship that one who created me? What is wrong with me then? In other words, then if I cannot worship the one who created me, something is definitely wrong with me. Meaning also that if you people cannot recognize that you have to worship the one who created you, something is definitely wrong with you people. So this is why he poses the question, Malia, what is the matter with me? What is wrong with me? La abudu, that I should not worship the one who created me? Allahu Akbar. Allah has given me my existence. I was nothing. I was in a base liquid. Allah created me from that. And now I shouldn't be thankful and grateful to the one who created me? He says, what is wrong with me? And knowing also, wa ilayhi turja'un, knowing that all of you will return back to him. Even if you worship all your idols, when you die, where will you go? Back to your idols or back to Allah? Back to Allah. So why don't you worship him? Then he says, أَأَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَا. Should I take besides him another Lord? In other words, Malia, what is wrong with me if I take besides Allah another Lord?
إِن يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَنُ بِضُرَّ لَا تُغْنِي عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ.
Should I take besides him another Lord? If Allah wishes to bring some calamity or misfortune or harm upon me, then لَا تُغْنِي عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ, then the intercession of all these idols put together cannot avail me in the least. وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ, and these idols cannot save me also. So when these idols cannot save me from any harm, neither can they bring any good to me, and if Allah wishes to punish me, they cannot save me, then why should I leave Allah to worship these idols? And that is the message he is putting across to them. He says, "Inni idhan lafi dhalalin mubin."
He says, "I, at that time, will be in an open and manifest error and misguidance. If I am to do that, to leave Allah and worship idols, and I'm to leave Allah and believe in these idols, when I know they cannot help me, they cannot save me, they cannot do anything to me, then if I am doing that, then I am in a clear error. I am in an open misguidance, manifest error."
Now he says, "Inni, as for me, amantu bi rabbikum, I have already believed in your Lord." Now he's making a declaration to his community, giving them some solid arguments as to why they should leave off idol worship. He says, "Inni, as for me, now me, amantu bi rabbikum, I have already believed in your Rabb. Fasma'un, so you people, listen to me. Listen to what I am saying. Listen to what I am saying. Obey the messengers and become obedient to Allah." But these people became so angry with him, they immediately began to beat him. They pelted him with stones. They took things and beat him so much. Blood started to flow from his body. All of them fell on him, beat him up, until right there he became a martyr and he died right there. They killed him right there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the person's effort, the sacrifice for the deen, that the community was such that anytime you announce your iman, they're going to beat you. But he was strong. He was brave enough to announce before them that "Amantu bi Rabbikum, I believe in your Rabb." Just like the sorcerers, when they lost the battle with Musa alayhi salam, in front of the eyes of Musa and Fir'aun, what did they say? "Amantu, amanna bi Rabbi Musa wa Harun." We believe in the Lord of Moses and Aaron. Immediately, as soon as the Lord lost the sorcery battle with Musa alayhi salam, because what Musa alayhi salam had was not sorcery, it was mu'ajizah. Sorcerers that were gathered to debate and fight on behalf of Fir'aun, they said to Fir'aun, "We believe in the Lord of Moses and Aaron." What did Fir'aun say to them? "Oh, have you believed in him before you consulted me? Is he your grandfather that he came to teach you sorcery today? That you did this before consulting me? La aqtulannakum, I will kill you. Wa la usallibannakum, I will crucify you. I will crucify you and I will kill you." What was their reply? It says, "O Fir'aun, faqdi ma anta qaz. You do whatever you wish to do. Whatever you wish to do, you go ahead. As for us, we have already believed in Allah, who is the Rabb of the entire world, and to him is our return. So whether you punish us now or you do not punish us and we die a natural death, towards him is our return. We still have to go back to him." So they knew very well they were going to be persecuted, but they were brave to declare their iman and their faith in front of the eyes of the enemy. And so these people, this person, Habib bin Ismail Najjar, he proclaimed the kalima. He believed in Allah. In front of them, he declared his faith in Allah. And they killed him right there. As for the Anbiya's, some commentators say that they became so angry that they even killed the Anbiya's. But there is no solid record of what happened to the Anbiya's, whether they were killed. But it was the custom of the people that they always killed Anbiya's. They always killed the prophets. This is why the Holy Quran says, when these people, the Jews, they used to speak about their closeness to Allah and their closeness to the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat telling the prophet to say to them that if you people claim what you are claiming to be true, then lima taqtuluna al-anbiya bighayri haqq, why did you kill the messengers without a just cause? Awa kullama ja'akum rasulun bima la tahwa anfusukum فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. Is it that any time a Nabi and a Prophet, a messenger comes to you with something which you do not like, some of you denied him and others killed him? This is what their custom. In fact, it is mentioned in certain commentaries of the Holy Quran, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, on one day the Israelites killed over 70,000 prophets. One day. Mention hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many ambiance came in different places. One day. So it was customary among those Israelites. Every time the ambiance came, they will kill them. So, this person got martyrdom. He became a shaheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately entered him into Jannah. Immediately entered him into Jannah. So Allah says, Qila, Qila dukhulil Jannah. It was said to this person, enter into Jannah. Enter into paradise. Qala, when he went and he entered into paradise, immediately he realized that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him from among the bounties in Jannah. And he expressed that desire that his people should also know about the truth in the belief of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever wish he had, even in Jannah, Allah mentioned it in the Quran so that the people may listen also. What did he say? When he entered Jannah, قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ. Oh, how I wish that my nation would have known about the truth of this. Oh, how I wish. Because he is experiencing the gardens of paradise and the beauty and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like any one of us. Like any one of us. Today we are living in this world, and it is the desire of every person who, after he passes away and he gets those special bounties and grace from Allah, he has it at his heart. Oh, how I wish that my son or my daughter or my father or my mother, they can follow the true path, so they will also get like this. So if any one of you, one of us dies today, or any one of our parents die, and Allah gives them good thing and give them Jannah, even from the grave, even in that state, they will remember us. And they will know that they have left children on the face of the earth. They know they have left parents. So that desire will come, oh, how I wish. Wow, why am I, my family? How I wish that they will follow the true path, so they will get the same thing I am getting. And the hope also comes in the heart. The hope comes in the heart when the person, when reality is disclosed to him, and he goes in the grave and he sees what happens of the punishment in Jahannam and of the punishment of Allah, he will say, I just hope my son does not tread this path, because then I will have to see him in this state. But then that comes in the heart of the people who are passed. But we cannot communicate to them. But the Quran communicates with us to tell us of the reality of the life that lies ahead of us, which sometimes we are so unmindful. So he says, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun, so that the people will know that his belief gave him Jannah. It gave him paradise. That he believed in the Anbiya's while they were rejecting the Anbiya's. He said, Qala ya layta qawmi ya'lamun. Oh, how I wish that my nation, they should have known about this affair. Bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukramin. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me his forgiveness. How Allah has forgiven me. Ghafara li rabbi, my Lord has forgiven me. Wa ja'alani, and he has made me min al-mukramin, from among the honored and respected ones, that he has granted me Jannah. Now, what became of the people? Just one incident is going on so far. What became of the people? They denied the Anbiya's. They killed this man, a believer. Maybe they did kill the Anbiya's also, the messengers. Allah says, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِن بَعْدِهِ مِن جُنِّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. And we did not send down upon his community, this is referring to this man, Habib bin Ismail, al-Najjar, his community. So Allah says, we did not send down upon his community after him, means after he passed away, we did not send upon his community min jundin, any army, min as-sama, from the sky. Wama kunna munzilin, and we were not sending any. Allah speaks about the destruction and azab came to them. So Allah says, in order to send his azab upon them, he did not need to send an army of angels from the heaven to destroy them. وَمَا كُنَّا مُنْزِلِينَ. And we were not to send it means it is not our habit. It is not the habit of Allah to send a large army to destroy a whole nation.
One powerful angel is enough to destroy communities and towns and cities and countries. One.
What happened to the two large cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Cities that were engaged in one of the worst sin on the face of the earth.
One angel came to them, Jibreel alayhi salam. One angel.
When Lut alayhi salam, the prophet of Allah, had preached to them, and he said, "Attahtuna ar-rijala, do you come to your own sense to fulfill your desires, leaving what Allah had made halal for you aside?" And they had crossed the limits of Allah's law. They had transgressed all the limits of Allah. So much so that when the angels came to Ibrahim alayhi salam and then came to Lut alayhi salam to tell them that the azab of Allah is coming, these people began to run behind the angels also to fulfill their haram desires. They were so bad and wicked and evil. And Lut alayhi salam, knowing his community, had it out with the community. So much so that when the angels told him that in the morning the azab of Allah will come, he said, "Let it come now. Do not wait until the morning. Do not wait until the morning. Let it come now." So the angel said, "Alaysa subha biqareeb?" In the Quran, isn't the morning very near? The morning is here. In the Quran, it mentions when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Lut alayhi salam and a few followers and his family members to leave the city, except one of his wife. His wife was among those people, so she remained, and she, it so happened that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them and commanded them to leave the city, he also commanded them that none of them should turn back and look at the azab of Allah coming. And she turned back and she became from among the outcast. The Quran spoke, إِلَّا مْرَأَتَ, except his wife. She fell prey to the evil, and she also fell prey to the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Jibreel alayhi salam came down on the face of the earth for the destruction. He took the two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, which is known in Arabic as Sadum and Amurah. And he lifted up to the highest sky, and he turned them upside down, and he allowed them to fall on its own force. And they came crushing onto the face of the earth. They were all destroyed. So only one angel was sent. So Allah says, "Bas, in order to destroy a community, we do not need to send an army of angels from the heaven. Neither it is our custom that we send an army of angels for destruction. But what it is? إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا." Meaning, it was only one loud shout. It was only one loud shout. One loud noise. فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. Then immediately they became extinguished forever. Immediately they were uprooted from the face of the earth. They were killed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happened? In the tafsir, the commentary of the ayat, it is mentioned that, as I mentioned before, that those city, two doors, you know, was used to secure the city. One door entrance, the other side also there is a door, and the large city inside. Angel Jibreel alayhi salam came and he took his wing and he put it on the two sides of the doors. He brought them together and he shouted one very loud sound and noise, that immediately when they heard the noise, they fell dead on the ground. One loud song Jibreel alayhi salam made. Just imagine the power of that angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, possessing 600 to 700 wings. So powerful to lift two large cities up in the heaven. And he comes and he screams out with a loud scream. Allah says, "In kana illa sayhatan," it was nothing except sayhatan wahidatan, one loud noise, one loud shout. Fa idahum khamidun. Khamidun in Arabic means
when something is burnt with fire and turned to ashes, that is what Qamidun is. It means the effect of the sound of Jibreel instilled such an effect into them that they trembled and they burnt apart. They were like ashes on the ground. This is what the Quran says. Qamidun, they were like ashes on the ground. Then, Allahu Akbar, what a beautiful message Allah now gives us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the people, they didn't want to believe. Allah says, give them the example of people just like you that went in the past. People just like you, of the same nature. Give them an example. What became of those people? Now Allah says, Ya hasratan ala al-ibad. How regretful it is upon the servant. How regretful that we are created in this world. We live a life, human beings live a life sometimes of unmindfulness. We live a life sometimes 100 years, 80 years, 60 years, 50 years. And a person lives the life in sin, in rebelliousness towards Allah, in transgression. And after being given a beautiful life, sometimes without any problems, headache, without any problems of sicknesses, after all of that, it's the eternal fire of Jahannam when you die. What type of life is that? How did this life benefit us? And worse than that, that sometimes a person comes to the earth, Allah creates him. He lives a life here of problems, calamities, sickness. He cannot mention anything that one moment he was happy on the face of the earth. And he dies as a kafir and nothing here, nothing there. Nothing here, nothing there also. Here there were problems, calamities, headache, whatever you want to call it. And also, as soon as he dies, is the eternal fire of hell. So Allah says, Ya hasratan ala al-ibad. How regretful it is for a person. Just as we will see it also, that a person, you expected him to do well. You give him all the equipments to perform well. And then after all, he did not apply himself to whatever you have given him. Whether it is education, whether it is a career, whatever have you. And you come back and you say, I regretted that I have spent so much behind you. It is really regretful that you wasted your time. It was really regretful that you have used and wasted so much resources, money, whatever. We also regret. Why do we regret? When we expected something else and that didn't come out and the result was something that affected us. Allah says, Ya hasratan ala al-ibad. How regretful it is upon the servants that servants come here. We do not make something good for ourselves and we die and then the punishment awaits. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the punishment. Then he says, مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. No prophet came to them. No prophet came to them. Meaning, مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ did not come to them. مِنْ رَسُولٍ any prophet إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ except that they used to ridicule the prophet. No prophet came to them except that they used to ridicule the prophet. Whether it is what was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ridiculed him. In fact, the people, the street urchins during that time, they used to insult others. They used to pee the little children to come on the street while the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking, to mock him, to tease him, to clap at him, to pick up stones and pelt him. They ridiculed him. They ridiculed Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, all the Anbiyas. This is what the Quran says. مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. That no messenger came to them except that they used to ridicule the messengers. Make a mockery out of the messengers. Make fun and joke out of the messengers. This is why they used to come. You see, read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They will come and say, oh, you're a messenger and just recently used to graze the sheep. How is it that you have become a messenger? They will say, oh, if you were a messenger, if God appointed you as a messenger, then do such and such for us. Change that entire thing into gold for us. They used to say, if you are a messenger, then we need such and such. Ask your God to give us and then we'll believe in you. It was like mocking the Prophet of Allah. You? This is why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at how they mocked him at Ta'if. When he went to Taif and he met the three chiefs, he met them. That is the usul, that is, you know, for formality's sake, when you go to a place,
for invitation, you meet those people who are in charge of the place, like the chiefs. So he met the chiefs, three chiefs. And he mentioned that he was an apostle of Allah and he had come to invite them. So one of them says, will Allah choose a man like you to be a prophet? He couldn't find anyone better. He said to him that. The other one said that, I do not believe you are a prophet. You are a liar. I do not believe you are a prophet. The other one said, if you are a prophet, then to speak to you in a manner I am speaking to you, it will be disrespect to you. And if you are not a prophet and you are a liar, I will not waste my time speaking to a liar. This is what he had to meet. And it was at that time that the people stoned him so much that his body became overflowing with blood and he fell unconscious on the ground. Unconscious he fell on the ground at that time in Ta'if. So all the Anbiya's, this is what the Quran says, there is no Nabi that came to the people except they ridicule them and they mock them. Allah says, will this mocking benefit them? Will this ridicule in the Anbiya's benefit them? Who will become victorious in the end? Who will gain victory in the end? Who will be defeated? Allah says, أَلَمْ يَرَوْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Have they not seen how many nations before them we have destroyed? They are taking pride in what they are doing today, in disbelieving. But let them look a little bit at the history of the nations of the past. What happened to the nation of Noah alayhi salam? What happened to them who disbelieved in Noah alayhi salam and all of them were drowned with the flood? What happened to the Ad and the Thamud people, the people of Ad, who thought they were so mighty, but the azab of Allah struck them? What became of the people of Thamud, where continuously for days and nights it rained, thunderstorms, hurricane and storm, and uprooted every single one of them? What happened to the nation of Sodom and Gomorrah? What happened to all these people? Do they have eyes? Can they not see? أَلَمْ يَرَوْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Do they not see how many nations before them we have destroyed? Allah says, one after the other went into destruction. One after the other. أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. That they did not return to them. Meaning that these people who were destroyed did not return to their own people. Nation after the nation. Whether it was the people of Dawood alayhi salam. So many different types of azab came. It is stated Dawood alayhi salam, the people at the time of Dawood alayhi salam, they wanted to bring about a strategy in their religion. So Dawood alayhi salam, he commanded them that you should not fish on the day of Sabbath. Yom Sabbath. It is their holy and sacred day. So the people, they listened to him in the beginning. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to put a test before them. So on the Sabbath day, Saturday, what Allah did, he used to cause all the fish to come swimming on the surface of the water. And these people were fishermen. And for a fisherman, fishes are his wealth. When you make a big catch, you become, you know, that is your result. That is what you, your risk. So they used to look at it. And they used to feel, you know, they used to, in other words, grind inside of them. Today, the fishes are coming and we cannot catch the fishes. And on the other days, the fishes never used to come on the surface of the water. So they said, okay, let's try a healer strategy. So from the river, which the fishes used to come upon, they cut small little canals, drains. And they set a system that when the fishes came up on that Saturday, it will automatically go into the rivers. And when they go, they will put something to block it from coming out. And then on Sunday, they used to go and catch all that went in the drain. And they used to say, we are not fishing on the Saturday, so we are not breaking the law of Allah. This was their strategy. The people warned them. Dawood alayhi salam and his people, the righteous believers, warned them, do not do so. But they continued in their transgression. Allah's azab came to them in such a manner that those who were involved in this act, they got up one morning and all of them were disfigured in the shape of apes and monkeys. All of them. The people looked at them
They were speaking to their own brothers and their family members, but they were already disfigured, changed into monkeys and apes. What Dawood alayhi salam did is when a whole section of people were disfigured by Allah, they went to sleep as everyone else, but got up in the morning being disfigured by Allah. Dawood alayhi salam put them on the other side of the river to live. 3 days passed, and in the morning of the fourth day, when they got up in the morning, they did not hear any sound coming from the other side of the river. And when they went across, each and everyone was dead. So after they were disfigured by Allah, they lived only for 3 days and 3 nights. And they all passed away and died. And it's mentioned that they were looking at their own brothers and their own family members. Tears were flowing from their eyes, but no one can do anything. Allah says, ask them about the nation that were changed into monkeys and apes. They were destroyed by Allah. They trying to make their deen convenient for them, use strategies in their deen. Allah's azab. So this is what Allah is saying. Let them look. If they still want to continue and persist in their disobedience, let them take a little peep into the history of the past people. Where are these people? Did they come back to the family members? Did they come back? No. They were destroyed by Allah. They did not return. They were destroyed. وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّا جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. And there is not any one of you. There is not any one of you except that all of you together, you will be present in the sight of Allah. لَدَيْنَا, in our presence. So those who have been destroyed in the past and those who are remaining, Allah says, all of you, in كُلُّن. In his nafiyah lamma, yani in kullun illa jami'un ladayna muhdharun. There is not a single one of you, except that each and every one of you will be gathered in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for those who had passed away, those who were destroyed, and those who are remaining behind, do not think that this year is the end of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns them about that. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in this other ruku. He says, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةِ. And a sign for them is the dead earth. Now look how this falls in and connected to the previous ayat. The last ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do they not look at the past nations and see how many nations we have destroyed, whether they were destroyed, whether people died of their own, or you, each and every one of you, will be gathered in the presence of Allah. Lest that anyone should think that how will we be gathered in this presence of Allah when we will die and our bodies will rot and our bones will be separated and divided, and some of us would have been burnt and some of us would have been eaten, and some of us without being buried, our bodies would have been rotted away on the face of the earth. Lest that someone should think that how are we to be resurrected and given life again. Allah brings this example. Just before a person thinks like that, look at this example. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ. A sign for them, so that they may know that of a surety and certainty they shall be given life again, and they shall stand in front of Allah, and they will be resurrected in the presence of Allah. Allah says, let them think about this example. The example of what? Al-ardul mayta. The earth which is dead. What is a dead earth? A dead earth is that earth which has become very, very dry. There is no water. And because of the dryness, it cannot produce even one shrub, one piece of grass. It is so dry, it is dead. Nothing can grow. Even if you plant anything, it will die out also, because there is no water in the land. So Allah says, that is the dead earth. It is dead, cannot produce. Nothing can grow upon it. So how, what becomes of that? Allah says, أَحْيَيْنَاهَا. We give it life. It is dead, but we give it life. وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا هَبًّا فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ. And we take out from the same earth which was once upon a time dead, could not produce,
we take out from it habban, grains, producers of all kinds, faminhu yakulun, and from these, the producers of the earth, you eat, yakulun, you eat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that look at the earth, it could not grow anything, but then Allah caused the water to come upon the earth, and with the water nourishing the earth, revived the dead earth and brought the earth alive. So that earth which could not produce anything now starts to produce so many things. It could not do anything. So Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِّنَ الْعُيُونِ, that we have made now on that very said earth, which was so dry and dead, we have made in it جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ, gardens of date palm trees, gardens of date palm trees, وَأَعْنَابٍ, and gardens of grapes, gardens of grapes, وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِّنَ الْعُيُونِ, and we caused to gush forth in it springs. Look at it. The earth was so dry that nothing could have been seen. But now you have vegetation, you have fruits, you have crops, you have grains. And besides that, the same dead earth is shooting out water from itself, which is known as a spring. Now the earth is alive. It was once dead, but now it is alive. Allah says, why has He done all these things? لِيَاكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِي, so that the people may eat from its fruits. وَمَا أَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ, and this their hands have not done. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, wouldn't these people now become grateful to Allah? Wouldn't these people now become grateful to Allah? So Allah says, the reason that He has caused all these things to happen is so that you and I may eat from the produce of the earth. Eat from the produce of the earth. Then Allah reminds us that all the things that happens on the face of the earth, we drink water, it comes out from the earth. It comes from the heavens, flows on the earth, certain portions of the earth stores it up at reservoir, it comes from the springs, come from the mountain, come from the streams, the springs, meeting at one place, it is gathered, purified, and we drink from it. It comes from the earth. Whatever we eat, it comes from the earth. And if it does not literally come from the earth, it is produced from the effects of the earth. Whether we eat an animal, the animal can only grow when it takes the water from the earth and eats the food from the earth, which the earth produces. Each one of our standard food, it is from the earth. The vegetables, it is from the earth. The fruits, they are from the earth. Every single thing from the earth, Allah says, and these things, مَا أَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ, the hands of man have not made them. Huh. All these things, وَمَا أَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ, the hands of man have not made them. The hands of man have not produced it. So, who has produced it? If the hands of man have not produced it, who has produced it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we recognize that Allah has produced it, then what is the next step? To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become grateful to Him. And the greatest gratitude that can be given to Allah is to believe in Him and obey Him. This is why Allah says, when man knows that his hands have not made it, then أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, then why does not man become grateful to Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them that look at the things that are produced in the earth. Have your hands done these things? Allah says, no. وَمَا أَمْلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ, their hands have not done that. So therefore, man supposed to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They refuse to believe in even the anbiyas. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws three types of dala'il. Evidence, as you call it. Proofs. On the earth, on the land, in the heavens, and in the ocean. Signs of the existence of Allah. Signs that they cannot refute. So he says, Subhanallahi, glory be to Allah. The first sign. Glory be to Allah. Which Allah? Allahi khalaqa al-azwaja kullaha. Glory be to that one who has created all things in pairs. Ajib. Allahu Akbar. Very strange. One of his qudrat he is given. A very strange sign of his ability and qudrat He has given.
Subhanalladhi khalaqa azwaja kullaha.
Glory be to that one who has created all the pairs and all things and pairs.
Mimma tumbitul ard.
From that which the earth grows and produces. One.
Wa min anfusihim.
And from your own selves.
Wa mimma la ya'lamun.
And from among those things that people have no knowledge. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these things and pairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything on the face of the earth. Allah has created us and Allah feeds us. There is no razaq besides Allah. He gives us water, He gives us food to drink. But the manner in which the food will reach us, Allah also created that manner. Where He will cause the earth to produce and we will eat from the ground. Where He will make man cultivate the lands and plant certain things and they will sell it to other people, we buy it. But although we spend our money and although we work very hard on the field, we cannot say that Allah did not give us that food. We have to say Allah has given us the food, but this is the way. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. Human beings, jinnat, He has created the animal kingdom, the vegetation kingdom, insects, reptiles, every single thing. And these things, they are created to multiply and bring about future generations of their own species. How has Allah done that? What is the manner that Allah has used? That Allah creates, but He has placed a system on the face of the earth that through that system there will be continuous reproduction on the face of the earth. He created Adam alayhi salam from teen, from clay. And then He created Hawa alayhi salam from the rib, one rib of Adam alayhi salam. But Allah still has the power to create each and every one of us from the same dirt He used to create Adam. He has the power. But He did not institute that system. He instituted the system of marriage and nikah. That man and a woman will come together in a lawful contract. And through their coming together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to bring upon mankind on the face of the earth. But the way that occurs, it is when there are pairs of each and every single thing. When there are pairs, reproduction in the vegetation kingdom occurs when there are pairs. And this is what Allah is saying. Something which was only discovered in recent centuries. That yes, just as human beings, where there is a male and female, even in the vegetation kingdom there is the male and female organs. Something which no one knew at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these are ajeeb signs that Allah is bringing now before man. Something which we can say, it is only recent scientists have discovered that these things are really so. Never before. People knew, obviously as human beings we know there is a male and a female. A man and a woman. In the animal kingdom there is a male and female also. So it is there. But the first thing Allah hints towards is He has created pairs mimma tumbitul ard from that which the earth produces. Even if we take a fruit. A fruit, in other words, is the end product of a reproduction process of plants. It's the end product. But the stage preceding that is that of the flower. And the flower is that which has the male and female organs, which are known as the stamens and the ovules. This is the pair which Allah is speaking about. Mimma tumbitul ard. Obviously, the miraculous nature of the Holy Quran. Where in the world the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had any knowledge of the vegetation kingdom? Where in the world any man 1420 or 21 years ago had any knowledge that pairs, male and female, also exist in the vegetation kingdom? So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this from among His dalail and evidence. He brings this. So in other words, He says, do you know who has created a man and a woman so that through them reproduction will take place? Do you know who has created the male species and female among the animal the animals? And also, do you know who has created the male and female organs of the plant also in producing the fruit? It is none but Allah. So Subhanalladhi khalaqa al-azwaja kullaha. Glory be to that one who created in pairs all things. Mimma tumbitul ard. First, from that which the earth produces. Secondly, wa min anfusihim, and from your own selves Allah has created. And then the third category, Allah says, wa mimma la ya'lamun, and from among those things which people have no knowledge. So there are many things which are yet to be discovered. There are many, there are thousands and millions which the science and the ulum has been given in the Holy Quran. And how does Allah conclude about that? He does not give us so much things. He just says, la ya'lamun, but they do not know. They do not know. Obviously, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahabas could not understand that from among what the ground produces and the earth, from among plants and vegetation, how there can be a male and female also in that. Okay? But people, you know, people are discovering things, people are doing research, etc. So those things, much of the meaning is not clear, we will say, but people are able to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. But with all that understanding, iman has gone lesser than that of the Sahabas, who could not understand what Allah was speaking about, but they firmly believed it. They firmly believed it. Today, science has proven exactly what the Quran has spoken about, of the movement of the sun and the movement of the earth and the night and the day, etc. Sahabas just accepted it and believed. Amantu billah, we believe in Allah. And that was the end of